Iran's president hails the country's progress in energy sector. Iran and P5 Plus One wrap up first round of talks in Almaty. China hopes for progress from new round of Iran P5 Plus One nuclear talks. Iran to complete gas pipeline to Pakistan in 22 months. And Iran's foreign ministry condemns killing of a Palestinian inmate in Zionist regime jail. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, hello everyone and welcome to this edition of Iran and English News with me, Ani Mashitsas. Iranian presidents lauded the country's engineers and energy experts, saying Iran's talents and potentials in the energy sector rival with the world's most developed countries. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad made the remarks after the inaugural ceremony of Sarvestan and Saratabad oil. As well as Hafiz Shiraz gas power plant in the southern province of Fars. The president said, once in academic circles, it was said that the oil and gas exploitation equipment should be indigenized. Everyone wondered with doubt. But today, this is happening in the country, as we are witnessing in Fars province. Iran and P5 Plus One have wrapped up their first round of talks in Kazakhstan, whose main focus was Iran's nuclear energy program, with its side reportedly offering its own package of proposals. Throughout the talks held in Almaty on Tuesday, the P5 Plus One reportedly demanded Iran to stop enriching uranium up to 20%, ship out its stockpile of enriched uranium, and shut down the Fordun nuclear facility near the central city of Qom. In return, the Western governments would ease gold, petrochemical, and banking sanctions against Iran. Meanwhile, European Union spokesmen called the meeting useful.
We had a useful meeting today with Iran. Further discussions have taken place since the plenary session, and we're going to meet again tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock for another plenary session.
Iran and the P5 Plus One group have held several rounds of talks with the main focus on Iran's nuclear energy program. The last round of negotiations between Iran and the P5 Plus One group was held in Moscow in June 2012. Meanwhile, as nuclear talks between Iran and the P5 Plus One began in Kazakhstan, China hopes all sides take the opportunity to make progress through negotiations.
We hope all the relevant parties can take the opportunity of the new round of Iranian nuclear talks in Almaty, Kazakhstan, to strengthen diplomatic efforts based on the results of last year's talks, further show flexibility and sincerity to seek common ground and bridge differences and try to make progress through talks.
Managing Director of the National Iranian Gas Company says construction of the Pakistani section of the pipeline, which would carry natural gas from Iran to its eastern neighbor, would last 22 months. Javad Oji said Iran-Pakistan peace pipeline is expected to be constructed in 22 months on the Pakistani soil with Iran's participation. He said Pakistan covers 780 kilometers of the 1,881-kilometer pipeline. Oji noted that Pakistan has not requested negotiation or discount on the gas price, which he said has been finalized. On February 20, an Iranian-Pakistani consortium started the construction of the Pakistani section of the pipeline, which stretches from the border between the two countries to Nawabshah region in Pakistan. The pipeline, projected to cost about $1.2 to $1.5 billion, would enable the export of 21.5 million cubic meters of Iran's natural gas to Pakistan on a daily basis. Iran has already built more than 900 kilometers of the pipeline on its soil. Iran's foreign ministry has strongly condemned the blatant crime and anti-humane measure by the Zionist regime in torturing and killing a Palestinian inmate. In a statement released on Tuesday, the foreign ministry called on international organizations, particularly human rights bodies, to take timely measures to prevent humanitarian tragedies against Palestinian inmates. It said undoubtedly, the criminal acts of Zionists against Palestinian inmates and the continuation of their aggressive policies to expand settlements indicate Tel Aviv regime's confusion in managing its internal crisis. Arafat Jaradah, who was arrested on February 18 on suspicion that he was involved in throwing stones at Zionist troopers, died on Saturday in Megiddo prison. Tel Aviv claims that Jaradah had died of cardiac arrest, a claim Palestinians deny. And here is the recap of tonight's top stories. Iran's president hails the country's progress in energy sector. Iran and the P5+1 wrap up first round of talks in Almaty. China hopes for progress from new round of Iran P5+1 nuclear talks. Iran to complete gas pipeline to Pakistan in 22 months. And Iran's foreign ministry condemns killing of a Palestinian inmate. The Syrian army has cleared several neighborhoods in the capital and the northern city of Aleppo of militants fighting against the government. Government forces have taken control of the areas near Yarmouk Palestinian refugee camp in the capital city of Damascus, following heavy clashes with insurgents. The army has also gained ground against foreign-backed militants in Sayed Zainab town near the capital. Syrian troops also seized the old city in Aleppo after attacking rebels from several directions. Militants had planted bombs in many buildings in the area. Government forces also took control of Bustan Akkas district in the northern city, which was used by militants to send reinforcements to several other districts of Aleppo and Aleppo, including Mashhad and Zibiya. The Syrian army is continuing to fight back armed rebels in south of Aleppo to prevent them from taking control of the main route connecting Aleppo to Damascus. Syria has been experiencing unrest since mid-March 2011. Many people, including large numbers of security personnel, have been killed in the violence. The Syrian government says the chaos is being orchestrated from outside the country, and there are reports that a very large number of the militants are foreign nationals. Meantime, Russian foreign minister has condemned extremists in Syria opposition who blocked the start of dialogue to end months-long conflict in the country. Sergei Lavrov said hopes to establish dialogue between the opposition and the government of President Bashar al-Assad has dissipated as the opposition continued to make unrealistic demands. Lavrov stressed that the prospect of starting dialogue later faded away as the voices were silenced.
We have noticed increasing understanding of the need to influence both the government and mostly the opposition to persuade them not to come up with unrealistic requests and preconditions for the start of dialogue. It seems that the extremists who bet on the military approach to Syria problem and block initiatives to start dialogue have for now dominated the ranks of the Syrian opposition, including in the so-called National Coalition.
Bahrainis have staged demonstrations to protest against the authorities' refusal to hand over the body of a protester killed by regime forces last week. Scores of Bahrainis took to the streets in Sanabis, Samahij, and Sitra on Tuesday to urge the authorities to hand over the body of Mahmoud Issa al-Jaziri. The 20-year-old protester was hit in the head by a tear gas canister on February 14 after security forces attacked anti-regime demonstrators in Nabi Saleh in south of Manama. According to Bahrain's main opposition bloc, Al-Wafaq, Jaziri died in the hospital on February 22 after a week in coma. Bahraini authorities have so far made no comments on Jaziri's death. Bahrainis have been staging demonstrations since mid-February 2011 demanding political reform and a constitutional monarchy. Already 1 in 4 people in Spain are currently unemployed, and the European Union expects that the number to climb even higher. The high jobless rate and ongoing decline in consumer spending is leading to a potential brain drain as the country's young increasingly head abroad to seek work. The bursting of the country's real estate bubble has led to hundreds of thousands of layoffs right across the construction industry. Also, the collapse of Spain's construction sector has led to a dramatic drop in retail sales, with more than 10% in the final month of last year. More than 26% of Spain's population is jobless now, a higher rate than that in the U.S. during the peak of the Great Depression. But the main concern is youth unemployment, which is currently at around 60%. With few jobs on offer, some economists expect up to 500,000 people could emigrate this year, especially among young university graduates.
I just finished a course in superior grade metalworking, but I still can't find a job, so that's it. I'm willing to leave Spain, well, Catalonia, Spain, and go work abroad, but due to my lack of language skills, it's really complicated.
Most of my best friends of university, they are living abroad, so they are not anymore with us. So you have this compromise with it, this commitment with the political situation, that you have to be politically active to change your country, or you migrate.
Markets across Europe fell sharply on Tuesday after Italian election results produced a political stalemate in the country fighting to keep its economy under control. Italian government bonds fell sharply and stocks followed after inconclusive elections left Italy facing political deadlock and rekindled fears of a Eurozone debt crisis. Traders and analysts said the divided parliament and a massive surge of what they see as an anti-austerity vote was the worst possible outcome of markets.
No, it's going to spread in Europe. Also, we saw yesterday, it also spread to Wall Street when the news that there was not going to be a clear majority also affected Wall Street. So it's going to be, I'm not going to say global, but almost global negative effect. The hope is it's going to only last a few days, and eventually Italian politicians are going to be able to resolve this uncertainty with a great sense of responsibility.
I'm sorry for the words, but there will be a huge mess. This is just not governable. This government cannot govern.
U.S. banking giant J.P. Morgan Chase has announced plans to cut up to 19,000 jobs by the end of 2014, starting with slashing 4,000 jobs in 2013. According to a statement released by the United States' largest bank on Tuesday, the massive job cuts are aimed at cutting expenses through 2014. Targeting the company's mortgage and community banking businesses. JP Morgan Chase will specifically cut 13,000 to 15,000 jobs in its mortgage division, where the company spent over $9 billion in 2012 and 3,000 to 4,000 in community banking. A company representative went on to say out of those 19,000 job cuts, about 4,000 will take place in 2013, mainly through attrition in order to save about $1 billion. The unemployment rate as the U.S. increased 0.1% to 7.9% in January, and the rate of job increases remained far below what economists recommended to maintain healthy employment rates. The U.S. has been struggling to recover from its worst economic downturn since the Great Depression of the 1930s. Hundreds of Afghans rallied in the snowy weather on Tuesday, urging an immediate pullout of U.S. special forces from Wardak province. The protest comes following allegations of torture and killing by a group associated with the Americans. Some 500 men gathered outside a provincial council in the southeastern city of Maidan Shahr, the capital of Wardak, chanting slogans such as "Death to America" and "We don't want the special forces." They also called for a trial. Angry demonstrators alleged that U.S. special forces had killed at least 13 innocent civilians and abducted 9.
These people have gathered here and want to know about 9 villagers who have disappeared. Their families are concerned about them and they are waiting for their sons to return. Until the fate of those 9 missing people are determined, the protests will continue.
A few days after my son's marriage, he was wondering whether he would find a job. He found a job. We are a poor family. On his way back home from his job, he was captured by 2 special force soldiers. Why?
Egypt's main opposition coalition, the National Salvation Front, has decided to boycott forthcoming parliamentary elections in the country, which is scheduled for late April. The front said that the coalition would not participate in the vote because of what it called the lack of guarantees for a transparent process. It further said the National Salvation Front would also refuse to take part in a national dialogue meeting that President Mohamed Morsi has called for. Meantime, earlier on Tuesday, Egyptian leftist opposition party, the Popular Current, announced that it would boycott the elections and the talks. The party said the measure is aimed at protesting against the elections law that the Popular Current did not participate in drafting, and about which its opinion was not taken. Some Egyptian opposition groups have already threatened to boycott the elections, accusing Morsi and his Muslim Brotherhood party of trying to monopolize power. The president rejects the allegation. At least 19 foreign tourists have been killed in Egypt as a hot air balloon crashed near the ancient city of Luxor. Local officials said the incident took place on Tuesday, with initial reports indicating that the casualties included tourists from France, Britain, Hong Kong, and Japan. Officials added that the balloon caught fire, exploded, and then plunged from the sky and crashed into the fields near the city, located 510 kilometers south of the Egyptian capital, Cairo. There were 21 people on the balloon, which was flying at 300 meters. The two survivors, including the pilot, were taken to a nearby hospital. And finally, France has rejected any talk of pulling its troops out of Mali in the near future, saying the troops are involved in very violent fighting in the mountains of northern part of the African country. France's Defense Minister Jean-Yves Le Drian said it is too early to talk about a quick withdrawal from Mali. Meanwhile, Le Drian stated that the French-led war in Mali has cost over $133 million. On January 11, France launched a war in Mali that has caused a serious humanitarian crisis in northern areas of the country and has displaced thousands of people who now live in deplorable conditions. And on that note, we come to a wrap of this edition of iRyan and English News. Join us tomorrow for the latest updates. Goodbye.